since the Secret Service was created back in 1865, it was actually founded to address the threat back then of counterfeit currency. I think over time, our financial payment system has evolved into a number of different things. I mean, we've gone into check cases. We've gone into a number of identity theft investigations. And now we're rolling into a digital age where computer systems and networks are being used to attack our financial infrastructure. So that is kind of like the core of the Secret Service's investigative mission on how we go after and we're involved in the cyber lane. Now, we have the authority to investigate any sort of computer intrusion into a domestic computer here in the United States. So under 18 U.S.C. 1030, any unauthorized access into a computer system falls under the jurisdiction of the Secret Service to be able to investigate those types of cases.
And, of course, Secret Service moved from Treasury to Homeland Security a few years ago, but I imagine you must still keep pretty deep communications and cooperation with Treasury, which is, you know, the rest of the government that's concerned with currency and money.
Sure, we do have an active responsibility and relationship with the Department of Treasury. We have agents that are actually assigned in a liaison capacity to Treasury, and we do continue to work very closely with all the different entities over at Treasury, to include their IG's office, TIGDA, and a number of other entities that are over at Treasury, to assist them in doing these types of investigations that affect our financial resources here in this country.
And when does a situation or a case rise to the level of needing the Secret Service to step in? I mean, do you initiate, do you see what's happening and decide this is something we need to get involved in, or is that something that is referred to you?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. So when you say rise to a level, there's not really a level at which we draw a line of demarcation. We assist everybody, all different agencies, all different kind of retailers that are in America that are having an issue or a situation. It's through our network of 35 electronic crimes task forces that we've actually built relationships out in the different communities. So we have these task forces that partner with the private sector and academia, and they're different across the country based on geographical location about where industry in that location is like. So, of course, New York is heavily involved in the financial services sector. Out in California, in L.A., heavily involved in the entertainment industry. You go south into Texas, big into the energy sector. So our partners in the private sector, we work very closely with them. So when there is a problem, when there is a compromise, when there is a fraud against them, they can come talk to us. We have a trusted partnership with a number of different companies to be able to work closely with them. So to say that there's a certain parameter that we cut ourselves off at, or we work at this level, not this level, there's mom-and-pop restaurant chains that we've worked with. There's grocery store chains that we've worked with. So it's not just the big national-level companies that we work the investigations for. It's everybody. So if there's an intrusion, we like to try to draw that data, and then we make comparisons, because you got to realize a lot of these types of intrusions aren't coming from within the borders of the United States. So if we can draw evidence in a mom-and-pop type chain and compare that to a larger chain, we can build a very robust investigation against one of these international, transnational criminal organizations.
And in the cyber area, is it true that the methodologies that they're using for financial crime have gotten, from a technical standpoint, a cyber standpoint, more sophisticated all the time?
I think if you look over history, the cyber criminals that are going after our nation's wealth are motivated by, I've used in my testimony, are motivated by greed. They're going to go after that pot of gold, and they're going to use whatever method they can to get at after it. So as security molds to try to defend, so too have the criminals. They will look for the edge of the fence. They're looking for any way to get above, below, to get at that data that they're trying to monetize. So when you say, have they become more sophisticated? Absolutely. They've had to use other means, other methods to infiltrate systems, how to insert and create malware that's not picked up by antivirus software or antivirus programs. Because you got to realize, at the moment they're discovered in a system, the system shut off and their access is shut off. If they're in a system for a long time, that means that they have the ability to draw vast amounts of data, which they can monetize and then benefit from. So it's their job, their role, to be in a system as long and quietly as possible for them to gather that financial gain. So if they're not using a sophisticated means and they're using a loud method in which all the industry knows about, they're going to be identified. So that's counterproductive to what their accomplishments are.
We're speaking with Bill Noonan. He is the Deputy Special Agent in charge of the Secret Service's Cyber Operations Branch. And you were on Capitol Hill not too long ago in a series of hearings that took place after that big Target cybersecurity breach around Thanksgiving time. Do you see that retailers like Target, Congress, and other powers that be are becoming similarly more sophisticated and more knowledgeable about cybercrime and how sophisticated it is?
My belief is that I think it's a learning process for everybody. So as new methods are learned, as criminal actors are becoming more sophisticated, those methods are learned and shared with industry. So I think as the important part for law enforcement is that we're not only doing just the investigation here, we're also grabbing evidence and tactics and trends used by the criminals, and we're sharing that with other infrastructure, with other government leaders, with everybody to for them to better protect their systems and understand what the threat is and how the threat has molded and has changed since whenever the last occurrence was.
And I wanted to ask you about Bitcoin, which is not currency as we normally understand it, and I'm not sure I know what it is, but it has been in the news a lot, and there's been some fraud with people connected with people that deal in it. When there's cyber attacks in that realm, is that something now the Secret Service is starting to look at? Because I guess indirectly it could affect value of real money.
Right. So the Secret Service targets individuals. So we're going after the actual criminals themselves, not necessarily the tools. So, but there has been occasions where we have gone after digital currencies, which were in and of themselves illegal centralized currencies that were not monitored, which were not regulated. So, you know, recently we worked very closely with the Department of Homeland Security's Homeland Security Investigative Section, as well as IRS, in putting together a very complex long-term investigation against another digital currency called Liberty Reserve. Now, it's important to realize that the criminal underground that we're talking about that works in these transnational groups, they utilize digital currency to be able to launder and move money. So what we're looking at is the criminals. We are looking a little bit at the tools in which they're using, but more we're focused on the criminal actor as it relates to who and what they're doing here within the borders of our country, utilizing cyber as a mechanism to do so.
And just to follow up on something you just said, digital currency seems very new to most of us, but you were mentioning that you guys have always tracked unregulated currency. I guess I didn't realize that there was unregulated currency before the digital phenomenon.
Yeah, so but even before Liberty Reserve, we were instrumental in working another investigation on a company back in the mid 2005 era on eGold was another one. So a lot of these digital currencies are being utilized or overseas, have been utilized overseas for a number of years, and it's the use of those digital currencies by the criminal underground is what brings it to our attention. So it's not necessarily just the regulation that we're concerned about. We're really concerned about the criminals and what they're doing and how they're moving the money. Obviously, they have to monetize what they steal from the data that they intrude into our networks. And that's the angle in which we are pursuing those criminals.
And given that cybersecurity is so much on the forefront these days, and you went up to Capitol Hill, does the Secret Service support legislative or regulatory changes, and did that come up in your conversations on the Hill?
Actually, it has. The Secret Service does stand behind the administration's 2011 proposal, and specifically we support notification to law enforcement that has jurisdiction. We think it's an important part of the equation that that if a company has been intruded upon, that that information gets into law enforcement. And why is that important? I think it's important because law enforcement helps with the information sharing piece of this too. So as I mentioned earlier in the interview, what we're observing, what we're seeing, we have to be able to share with the greater industry. And we do that right now through taking in that information and providing that to DHS's the NCIC, which is the National Cybersecurity Communications and Integration Center. And what we'll do is we'll take malware, we'll take the criminal tools, we'll take the trends, and we'll share that with the NCIC, who then puts together a package and pushes that out through through its various portals that it has, its various web portals, out to greater infrastructure. And by doing so, is better protecting the country. So I think by industry having a situation, sharing that with law enforcement, and law enforcement being able to draw what's important out of that and to share it back with industry is the very important piece there. In addition to that, we would like to see, you know, potentially legislation to be enhanced on the 1030 violation. 1030 violation being computer intrusions. Of course, we're always looking for better sentencing guidelines that will prevent and act as a deterrent to help us in our fight against cybercrime.